Great. Should we get going? Yep.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome Ian Carey.
It's me.
He's from Northumbria University, where he's the Academic Skills Coordinator for Business and Law. And he's going to be speaking to you today about the benefits, challenges, and practicalities of embedded in session support. Offering, hopefully, an honest and balanced view of moving in session support out of the realm of languages and into the target faculty. So we can please make Ian Carey very welcome. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, well, thank you for that introduction. I am indeed Ian Carey, Academic Skills Coordinator for Business and Law. At Northumbria, the intersessional provision is independent by faculty. And I look after business and law. I'm kind of aware of what goes on in the other faculties. But what I'm really going to talk to you about is what happens in this one faculty. And we are an embedded model. We have been for a few years now. And what I want to give you today is really a look at what it's really like. The plenary is very interesting this morning, and I think we are very firmly in that middle column. So what I want to do today is just give you a fairly honest overview of how it is to be involved in that kind of provision. So a little bit of background on Northumbria. There are 32,000 students at Northumbria University, of whom 3,500 are on campus in Newcastle in business and law. Thousands of those are international students. From the usual places, China, Southeast Asia, India, but quite a lot of European students as well, especially our undergraduates. We have a lot of European students at undergraduate level. Some of our students do come in at level 4 or come in directly at level 5, but the vast majority of the international students are direct entry into the final year of an undergraduate degree, so they've done 2 years at home and come finish off their degrees at Northumbria, or they're postgraduate students. But either way, what this means is we only have them for a year. Now, our programme, this is how the Academic Skills Programme in Business and Law is structured. We're known officially as ESAP, but we refer to ourselves as Academic Skills because we're trying to move away from the E in ESAP. All international students are automatically registered onto our programme as soon as they arrive. Onto our main program. The main program focuses on reading, writing, research skills. We have separate provision for each of the year groups, 4, 5, 6, and the postgraduates. And then the big cohorts, the level 6, the final year undergraduates, and the postgraduates, are then further subdivided either by their degree program into their different degree programs, human resource management or international logistics, something like that. Or at level 6, between continuing students who've been with us right since level 4 or 5, or direct entry students straight into level 6, and also between those students who will write a dissertation and those students who will do something else, either a professional project or something other than a dissertation. So it's split up into quite a lot of different streams. Most of our delivery is through 60-minute seminars. We deliver 10 of these per semester, and we teach most of the cohorts for 2 semesters. The focus is very much on understanding university expectations, understanding assignment expectations, or what's expected of you at Northumbria Business School, the kind of academic environment of that, and the effective use of whatever language they have. So if they come in with fantastic language skills, that's great. If they come in with less well-developed language skills, we don't really see it as our main focus to improve that language proficiency. It's more about using whatever language they have as effectively as they can. As I say, the main program focuses very much on the reading and writing side of things. We do have additional elective sessions for listening and speaking where students sign up on a voluntary basis. But as I say, the main program is automatic registration. We also have one-to-one tutorial sessions which we run for the final 4 or 5 weeks of each semester. Students can come along, book half an hour, and spend some time with us one-to-one. All of our materials are bespoke. We write them all ourselves from scratch, and they're all held in a shared drive, which is open access for all of the staff in business and law. All of this adds up to about 1,500 hours a year, delivered over 20 weeks, about 75 hours a week we deliver. It ebbs and flows a little bit at different times of the year, but that's a rough idea of the size of it. And there are six staff involved with this. I'm the coordinator, I kind of oversee things. We're not all full-time, we have a few people on fractional contracts, and we equate to approximately five full-time teachers. Okay, so our model is the CHEM model, which was originally developed by Diane Sloan and Elizabeth Porter, originally published in 2008, I think. There have been certain additions and certain other involvements to this. I can see Alwyn sitting there. I know she was very closely involved in developing this. But it's based basically on these three concepts. I find it easiest to talk about the embedding first. The embedding idea is that the EAP staff are seen as part of the business school team, part of the degree program team. And the contextualization and the mapping is really about delivering the most relevant material at the most appropriate time to the students. As I say, this was the original publication. It was added to over the next 3 or 4 years. But today I don't really want to talk to you about the theory of the CHEM model. The CHEM model has been running up at Northumbria now for 5 or 6 years, and what I want to do today is to talk you through what it's actually like to do that. I've only been running it for the last 2 years, so I inherited it as a fairly well-formed programme, but I didn't get it straight from Elizabeth Porter, who retired a couple of years ago. There have been a couple of people in between, and so, as I say, I want to give you a good look at how it actually works for us on the ground. So, the practicalities. Are we embedded? Yes, I think we are. I think a lot of this has to do with what I would call informal integration. We spend all of our working lives in the business school. We never or rarely set foot in the language centre. There is a language centre. It's in a different building on the other side of the campus. I might go there, I don't know, 2 mornings in a semester. 99% of my working life is spent in the business school. And just being seen around the building, my desk is there, you know, I eat my lunch there. And just knowing who people are, being able to put a face to a name of the business school staff is very, very important when you go out. The contextualization means we have to build the relationships with the business school staff. You can't underestimate how important it is to know who these people are and to at least be on kind of nodding terms with them. You know, as you say hello, as you walk past them in the corridor, then when you set up a meeting with you, there already seems to be some kind of bond there, and it helps the information flow much easier, we find. Alongside this, of course, there is the formal integration, so we're part of the induction program, we're part of all of the review processes, the module review meetings, the program review meetings, the staff student committees. We're involved in all of those as well. From the student perception, I do think the students see us as part of their degree program and not some additional extra stuck on the side. All of our sessions are modularized, they have module codes, in exactly the same way as their credit-bearing business modules do. They're timetabled in exactly the same way, so when a student looks at his timetables, his academic skills session appears exactly the same as his credit-bearing business modules. We're very keen on attendance. We do monitor attendance in every session, and we do follow students up. We do email them and say, oh, we noticed you haven't been attending ESAP, you know, can you come along? And we send them 2 or 3 emails, which get less and less friendly as we go down the road. But we'll talk about attendance in a minute. We also make extensive use of our e-learning portal. We use Blackboard, and we do that, of course, to upload our materials and to give kind of useful links and additional materials that students can use, but also we use it to communicate with the students. We have a dialogue at least once a week. We're emailing the whole cohort to say, you know, don't forget academic skills this week, we're going to be looking at this, just to, as I say, to keep that dialogue going with the students. And over the last year or so, some of our modules are actually joint modules with the business staff, although not in that kind of third column way. What tends to happen is they get the lectures and we get the seminars, and we know what each other are doing, but I wouldn't go to say we're in that, you know, that third column. I don't think we're there yet, but we are, as I say, very firmly in that second column. The contextualization and mapping, at its kind of lowest level, all the texts and examples we use are at least contextualized to business or law for the law students. I'm sure you know in Sessional, it's very difficult to get students to engage with texts which are from outside of their academic discipline. So we don't use any humanities texts, nothing from engineering. Everything is at least framed within the language of business. But really, much more important are what we would call the high-level contextualized sessions. These are the sessions where the content of the ESAT session, the academic skills session, matches what's going on in their business modules. And this can be anything from presentations. We know when they have to give presentations. We know what those presentations are. So, of course, we can make sure we give our presentation skills sessions at the right time for them. Similarly, we know, certainly for the core modules, we know when the major assessment points are. We know what the big assignments are that they have to write. We'll work with the module tutors, and we'll usually develop some kind of session where we'll go through the module brief just to make sure they understand. You know, we've unpicked the language of the brief for them, but also talking about academic literacy, that they understand what it is we're asking them to do. So, here is my semester one for level four students. So this is their first semester in the university. We have things like reflective writing for HR 0154. That's their management module. And as part of the portfolio they submit for this, they have to do a reflective blog of what they've learned in each of their seminars. And so they need that right from the start. There's no point in giving them reflective writing halfway through semester two because they're supposed to have been doing it since week one. And of course, a lot of what we do, reflective writing, they don't just do it in this module, and it's all transferable. But we do find the more often you can kind of name drop and drop module codes in there, it piques students' interest and think, oh, this is really going to help me. This is the kind of relevance argument. And so we do that a lot. Down here, we've got another one for MO124, which is another one of their modules. But still, you know, semester one for the level four, so there's still quite a lot of generic stuff. But, you know, as you go up the levels, as you go to level six into the postgraduates, it becomes much more contextualized. And I would say that moves from kind of 20, 30, 40% at level four to kind of 67%, where we say, this session is about this module, this session is about this assessment. And of course, dissertations and dissertations proposals feature very large in that. Okay, so the contextualized, this only really happens because we have such a good dialogue with the business tutors. We know who they are. Sometimes it's generated from us. We'll say, oh, we know it's on your program structure. There's a core module. Can we get involved? Can we do something to help your students from it? Sometimes it comes from the business tutors, and this is very pleasing because this is happening more and more. They say, oh, I've got this module. International students struggle with it. Can we get together and can we see what we can do to help them out? That's fantastic when that happens. We've got a new cohort of 40 Malaysian accounting students coming in next year. The government sponsored the very important students, and I had the program director for accounts and finance knocking on my door last week saying, oh, they're coming, we've got to look after them. Can we get together and work out how we're going to provide for them? Which is great, because it's half of the job done for us. Sometimes it comes from the students. Sometimes when we meet the students, they all start complaining about the same module, or I don't understand this, or they bring a piece of feedback, and it's obvious students are struggling with this. And so then we'll go to the business tutor, and we'll say, look, what can we do about this? But in order to do this, we need access. And we need access to the human beings, the business tutors, but we also need access to the module paperwork. And we have that. We are enrolled we have free access to all of the business modules and the ability to enroll ourselves as a tutor on those business modules through the e-learning portal. So we have access to all of the paperwork, and that's invaluable to us. That's really what we need. So what are the benefits? We are very closely tied to the business tutors. I think we fought this battle, the profile integration. We are there, we are part of the team, we are part of the furniture in the business school. There is genuine two-way communication with the business staff, and I think this has enormous benefits for the relevance of the materials for the students. Timetabling, as I said, timetabling is quite complicated. We have a lot of different streams. But we are timetabled in exactly the same way by the same office who timetable the business modules. We get the same level of priority. We don't get pushed to the outer reaches. You know, we get some 9 o'clock slots and we get some Friday afternoon slots, but we don't get all of the 5 o'clock slots or all of the 9 o'clock slots. We do get our fair share of the Thursday morning at 10 o'clock kind of prime time slot. attendance, it's always a tricky thing in intersessional. We do monitor our attendance very closely. Of course, we'd like it to be 100%, but it's not. It's we manage about 60-65% in semester one and 50-ish percent in semester two. But this is 50 or 60% of all the students. This isn't of a proportion who decided to volunteer for it in the first place. This is 50 or 60% of all of the students. Which I think is quite good, because it's not actually that far below what the business modules get. The credit-bearing business modules will only get 75% attendance, and if we're only 10 or 15% behind that, I think that's quite good. Achievement, another tricky one. It's very difficult. There are so many factors involved in the mix to say, oh, this student did well because he came to ESAP, or this student didn't do well because they didn't come to the ESAP sessions. All I would claim on that is we get very, very positive feedback from the students and from the business staff as well. I mean, attendance is the most honest form of feedback as well. Of course, when we ask people what do you think of the course, it's a little bit of an ego massage, because the only people who really replied to are the people who stayed with it and enjoyed it, and you know, the people who didn't find that relevant. So, you know, there's issues with feedback. But overall, you know, I'm pretty confident that we do a good job at this. So what have been and what are the challenges? Well, as we heard this morning, changing the perceptions of the host faculty is probably the number one challenge. Getting them to understand who we are, you know, we're not just someone where they send their failing international students to us for an hour and expect us to fix them in some kind of way. I was very lucky, as I say, I think this battle was fought 5 or 6 years ago, you know, 3 or 4 years before I arrived and took over the program. I think Diane Sloan, who's at Northumbria, I think she did an awful lot of work. But what you need is you need a person on the inside. Diane Sloan is one of the business academics. She's not from the language centre. And you need a champion on the inside who's really, really going to push this with a lot of fervour from the inside. Of course, the language centre gets involved as well, but you need a champion on the inside, somebody who gets it. The other one is the complexity of timetabling. It is complicated. Whoever does your timetabling has to understand your program, because it only works, the contextualization and the mapping only works if students studying the same modules are in the same group. And if timetable don't get that, you get students in the wrong group, it's frustrating from the students, they're not getting the relevant materials, the teachers then have to sort it out, because we know where they should be. So you really, really need timetabling on board as well. Because we're so deeply contextualized, we had to keep up with changes in the business modules. Okay, so whenever anything changes in the business module, we have to be aware of that, and we have to adapt our materials to that. Sometimes that's on quite a grand scale. Northumbria is currently revalidating all of its programs, so modules are disappearing, modules are getting pushed together, content is moving from one module to a different module, and we have to keep up to speed with that, because we have to contextualize to the new modules. Sometimes it happens on a very minor level. Sometimes a module tutor will change a deadline, or change a word count, or change the form of assessment. And often they will tell us that in advance and say, oh, you don't forget, I'm changing the deadline for the dissertation proposal or whatever. But it doesn't always happen, and we have to be on our toes, and we have to know what's going on in the modules, which is part of being attached to the modules on Blackboard, because we get all of those kind of internal emails which would go to all of the other module tutors. And also staff changes as well. When the business school staff change, we have to get in there and we have to build up that relationship again with the new module tutor or the new program tutors. Another challenge to this is your staffing, is the EAP staff. You know, people talk about going native, embedding yourself in the business school. You've got to want to do that. You've got to get the staff who are happy to become part of the business school or part of the host faculty. You don't necessarily have to have a business background. I don't, and I don't think any of my team do. But you've got to buy into this, and you've got to share and develop these very contextualized materials. You have to get to know this. You have to write materials which, you know, might be quite a long way from what you're used to teaching, traditional EAP or that kind of thing. And not, in our experience, not everybody wants to do that. We have people who go, oh, well, but I teach paraphrasing like this, or I've always taught it like this. And you go, well, yeah, but it's not going to work for us. And so we kind of ended up with the people there who buy into this. But it's been not a revolving door exactly, but we've had a number of staff come, try it, They didn't like it. I didn't really think they should be on our team, and they've gone back to one of the other parts of the university. You've got to have the right people in there, because those people have to be proactive. They have to go out and make those connections with the business tutors. Okay? And they have to be patient. You know, not every business tutor answers every email we send. Sometimes you have to ask them two or three times for a meeting before they'll meet you. And you have to be that kind of person with a little bit of a thick skin who will go and put yourself out there and make those commitments. And also, you have to be there long term. I want to be there 2 years doing mainly level four business and level six law. And after 2 years, I only feel I'm just starting to get properly to grips with it. You can't have, you know, we don't like using associate lecturers who come in and they're not there next year. We need people who are going to commit to it long term for at least kind of 2-3 years, and hopefully, you know, for the long term. Right, very quickly. So, the future for us, reaching the right students. I think we've done a very good job of working out what students need and when they need it, but of course within Sessional we all know that the students who need it the most are the ones who are the hardest to reach, the ones who are the least likely to come. I think part of what we have to do is we also have to look at a more flexible delivery pattern. At the minute we have a very monolithic, everybody comes for 1 hour a week. And I don't think all students need 1 hour. I think some students need a lot more than 1 hour a week, and some students don't need it that much. I think online support, and I'm going to spend the rest of my day in the kind of online EAP stream looking at that. I think that might have a big part to play in freeing up some of our resources, so we might be able to give more intensive support to the students who do have language needs, because there are some students with language needs, and our model at the minute serves the kind of middle students and the good students, the higher level students. It serves them very well, and the home students love it. We're getting more and more home students asking to come to our sessions. Word of mouth gets round, and home students are starting to come to our sessions in quite large numbers. But I'm wondering, are we leaving some of them behind us? Can we give a more intensive support to some students? Credit-bearing modules, our university is very keen on giving us credit-bearing modules, because at the minute this is all non-credit-bearing. I don't really want to talk too much about that. I think I don't think it's a panacea, credit-bearing modules, from what I've seen in previous places I've been, but our university seems committed to that. So, just very quick summary then. The Kent model is now well established. It's been running 5-6 years in business and law in Northumbria. We are part of the team. There is genuine communication. People do take us seriously. We're not seen as some addendum on the side of everything. And I think the students do benefit from these contextualized materials that we have. And this is obviously helping with the engagement. But changing the perceptions of the host faculty, I think, was an incredible battle which I didn't have to fight. I was lucky to come in after that. I'd already been one. But what I have seen, even in 2 years, you know, staff come in, they try it, they don't really buy into it, and you've got to find somebody else who will buy into it. That's it. Thank you very much.